Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with a wonderful panel of guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So you're in the multifamily industry and you're working hard with your head down in your market, but you wonder what other multifamily professionals like you are doing in their markets. To really understand this, to learn and to grow in the industry, you need to go to the center of all things apartments. With this in mind, our topic today is Apartmentalize 2018, a recap. Joining me by phone is Bob Pinneker, President and CEO of the National Apartment Association, Jeff Lowry, Chairman of the Board of the National Apartment Association and Chief Operating Officer of Madera Residential, and Mary Gwynn, Chief Innovator at Apartment Dynamics. And joining me in the studio is Aaron Hardy, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life. Thank you guys for joining in today.
Thanks for having us.
So,
thank you for having us on.
So, Bob, I want to start out with you. Apartmentalize, the national conference, annual national conference that NAA holds, was in San Diego this year. Your hometown or where you got one of your starts, I guess, in the industry, running the association there. I was there. It was a wonderful show and mammoth in size and scope. I mean, I heard someone say that there were 12.3 million people that are employed in the apartment industry, in the multifamily industry, and it seems like about 12.2 million of them were there at the show. So it was huge. And tell us a little bit about now that everybody's kind of getting back to normal and recovering since the show was a couple of weeks ago, what's your feeling of how it all went?
You know, everybody I talked to that was at the show was excited about being there, and the experience was top-notch from the education sessions to the floor, which has literally doubled in size since the last time we were there. When we were in San Diego 5 years ago, we took up approximately half the convention center trade show floor. This year, we took up the entire space. And so it's really a reflection on the success of the industry. And in some respects, the new players that are coming to the industry from the standpoint of product, services, amenities, resources, that's really changing the face of the apartment industry.
Well, you and Jeff both obviously were instrumental in getting the show there and what happened at the show. I when I was putting together the panel, I wanted to have someone who actually was taking part in, as far as one of the leaders of the session, which Mary did, and also one of the exhibitors, which Aaron was. So talking about exhibitors for a second, Aaron, tell me a little bit about your feelings of how the show went. What did it do for you as an exhibitor, and what do you see as a result of all the hard work you guys put in?
Yeah, well, first off, what a great show. It was really exciting and fun. It's a place where so many people are, and that's the important part for being a supplier and exhibiting at a show like Apartmentalize, is to have, you know, access to things such as, you know, future clients, current clients who come by and see you and visit with you, and the opportunity to also be educated. As suppliers, we want to be abreast of all the things important education-wise in the industry that we supply to. And so having that opportunity also to go to those breakout sessions and hear things that are important in regards to our products to the industry is a real tool and gift for us to be able to utilize that. Overall, 2018 Apartmentalize was wonderful for us. I know that our whole company feels like that is probably the most lucrative part of going and having that experience with not only our current clients and meeting new ones, but with other suppliers as well. You know, there's a lot of collaboration that goes into it, doing events to draw people together and to spend time with one another and learning, again, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, about what other people are doing in their markets and how that can directly affect what we could be doing to have a great product for the industry.
Jeff, I'd be interested to know, what was your favorite part of the show? I'm sure you didn't get much sleep during the days that the show was on. But I saw you walking outside one day, and I thought, man, you must be taking a break from what's going on in there. But I could say one of my favorite parts was when you had your Hall of Fame induction, and you were instrumental in that. Tell us a little bit about what you thought was the favorite part for you.
Well, it was a great moment to have Alex Jackiew receive the Hall of Fame. She's a dear friend, colleague, and obviously a top person in our industry for education and leadership. So that was a high water mark. I have to tell you, Mark, just seeing all the teamwork and knowing what goes on behind the curtain and everyone coming together to produce, to support our suppliers, our sponsors, our staff, the volunteers, the attendees. I mean, it was a total team experience, and that was the high water mark for me, just to see all that come together. Great, great performance by all, and I think everyone left with a new sense of excitement. I mean, we're the largest education and exhibition conference in the industry, and we proved it well last couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. Mary, from the standpoint of someone who was conducting a session, and obviously you went to many sessions, what was your highlight?
Well, my biggest highlight was, I have to admit, hearing Mike Rowe speak, our dirty jobs guy. Mm-hmm. He actually made sewage funny, you know? But in addition to that, I am really passionate about the trades, about the future of our maintenance techs, and he helped put a spotlight on that. That's been a theme of my consulting and training for the last year. I actually spoke about maintenance hiring, and it's because maintenance team members are becoming more and more the face of our industry as we become, you know, we do leases online, we market our apartments online. The decision is almost made to rent before people walk in the door. But once they do walk in the door, it's our maintenance team members who really are our face, they're our customer service. And yet, they're aging out, and we're not replacing them. So the emphasis, both the humor, the amusement, come on, guys, everybody on this call knows he was the funniest one out there. And in addition to that, he is putting the emphasis on the trade.
Well, I can tell you that I was at that session, and when I saw Jeff and Bob and Mike Rowe and Mark Wahlberg, everybody who was on the stage, they looked like, you know, little ants from where I was sitting, but the huge TVs that were everywhere was able to, you know, get you right up and into the action and see the expressions that when Mike was talking. But that just is kind of, you know, what Jeff was saying, the amount of time and effort it took to be able to put something just like that one session together, to be able to do. And I don't know if there was an empty seat in the place. Bob, do you have any idea how many people were sitting in the room for that session?
We had close to 7,000 people sitting there in that room watching that session. That is always the most attended event is the general session before we open the floor. And I think to echo what Mary was talking about, as I was walking out and talking to members that have large, medium, and small portfolios, they were very happy that we were able to showcase the importance of maintenance techs, the importance of the trades, and those jobs that are not as celebrated in our economy today as they once were. And so it was definitely the right message at the right time to an industry audience that is definitely thinking about it.
Yeah, and what was interesting is after that, as you said, it kind of put it on the front burner with a lot of people. I was talking with some of the professionals who are actively hiring people in those positions, and they can earn very good money doing that work. It's kind of like what Mike Rowe had mentioned there.
Yeah, and it builds on the momentum that has been created through our Maintenance Mania program, which is the second day of the show, which is on the show floor, where the intensity of the competition and the commitment of not only the maintenance techs that are there competing at the national championship, but the companies that stand behind them and supporting this, really is a statement to the focus of the industry and trying to make sure that our maintenance techs are just as important as the leasing staff, as the site manager, as the regional managers. It's a team approach to really making the property a success.
And I think you had somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 10,000 attendees at this year's show.
Yeah, we did. It was a very, very well attended show that frankly is continued to grow every year, which is interesting because with many industry shows, they've gone to a point where they've grown, they've hit a plateau, and in some are even declining in some respects. But for this industry, we have yet to hit that plateau, and we continue to grow and evolve and expand.
That's wonderful. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to be back with another segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing Apartmentalize 2018, a recap. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is Bob Pinneker, President and CEO of the National Apartment Association, Jeff Lowry, Chairman of the Board of the National Apartment Association and Chief Operating Officer of Madera Residential, and Mary Gwynn, Chief and Innovator at Apartment Dynamics. And joining me in the studio is Aaron Hardy, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life. I do want to take a moment before we get back into the discussion to let our listeners know if you would like to provide guest ideas or topic ideas or just listen to any archived episode, you can go to the Multifamily Matters website at www.multifamilyradio.com. So one of the things that Jeff, you spoke of at the keynote address was to let people know that they could participate in a community service project that was held on Saturday. And I know it was kind of near and dear to your heart, and it had to do with the families of some of our armed forces members who are deployed and helping them out. Talk a little bit about that and what the turnout was and how it all worked.
Yes, thank you, Mark. That was definitely something that I focused on near and dear to my heart because I've been a deployed veteran before, and I understand that stress that's put on not only the service member, but the family that's back home serving. And the family truly is serving along with the deployed service member. So what we did is we had the opportunity, just first time ever that the Armed Services YMCA in San Diego had done a family picnic. And so we were privileged to provide about 50 or 60 volunteers who stayed over Saturday to assist with games and cookout and all kinds of fun. It's just like a carnival atmosphere for the families and the children. And the children just had so much fun, and the families, you could see they were just relaxing, and everyone was just having a great time, and the YMCA did a wonderful job, and we were just there as a privilege to help them to put on the event. It was just a great experience.
That's great. And Bob, you mentioned during the break that this was something, as far as these types of community service projects, that NAA is trying to determine how they can work it in maybe earlier in the week so that there's greater participation. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're working on plans because we typically go to a city where we have an affiliate that is already there. And so we try to work with the local affiliate on whatever charitable activities they've been involved with. When we were in Atlanta last year, it was the food bank, which there's a long history of the Atlanta Apartment Association supporting the food bank. And as we go into Denver with our Denver affiliate, we're working with them right now on opportunities that not only could we have special projects that would be off-site that would impact the community, but potentially bringing stuff right into the show itself, where and there's a lot of ideas that are being bounced around right now, but things where people can participate in community service and other members can see it, because the idea is there's so much that this industry does from a community service standpoint, but we're not necessarily as good at capturing that information and really telling the world what we're doing.
Okay. Mary, during the break you mentioned that the show this year for you was a little bit different because you were able to actually talk to some folks and get some signed agreements. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I know Bob mentioned earlier that the trade show floor doubled in size since the last time we were in San Diego, and let me tell you, my feet felt it at the end of the show. But what was really great, even though I didn't get to see every vendor I wanted, I actually was able to execute agreements with four different vendors, which I think this is the first time I've been able to do that. Normally, it is a lot of seeing new product, which we love, but there was a lot of new product, especially in the artificial intelligence area. But to be able to actually get business done, I know that must have been great for the supplier partners. It was great for us.
Yeah, Aaron, tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
Every supplier wants to walk away from NAA with signed agreements in hand. And that is the truth. At NAA in general, when we leave there, there is always that lucrative pot that we have where we're like, wow, that stuff really happened. And we are moving forward with not only in our local markets, but nationwide as a company. We can see where, where those agreements are going to be taking place. And that's the goal. I mean, I don't know a supplier out there who wouldn't want to leave the trade show floor without those. And it can happen, and it's worth it. And so it's worth having that time with your clients and being able to see them in one place. And it's challenging too, because everybody's busy. Like Mary was saying, the floor is so big and there's so many products and so many things going on that, you do want to just snag a little bit of that time with your decision makers so that you can talk about your new innovative things going on with your, product as a supplier, but to also nail down the details of that and leave the floor with agreements in hand and moving forward and providing a great service and product to the industry when you get back home.
And Bob,
Paul, I think a dimension that has our show has changed over the years that adds to this is many companies are using this as an opportunity to have company-wide meetings. And so they have events that are going on within the larger event, but you have all the decision makers there to have a consensus conversation to be able to really have an effective transactional show. And that's something that has really changed in the last 4 years, where you begin to see more and more companies really using this as an opportunity to create a sense of focus for their company inside a larger industry event.
And I think you also mentioned earlier that you were trying to help accommodate the exhibitors that were there by putting in some closing rooms and lounges. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the larger companies have the ability to put closing rooms within their booths and be able to have conference spaces. But working with our National Supplier Council, really having a conversation of what would bring value to the supplier community, is that this year, for the first time, we actually had a lounge on the floor where it was self-regulated by the National Supplier Council, and people people that were members of the council could make appointments to reserve tables, to reserve different areas. And I went by it several times because I got my steps in going up and down that trade show several times every day. And it was full whenever I went by, and it was different sets of people that were in there. And I heard a lot of real positive comments about being able to have those conversations away from that 10x10 booth.
Which is great, because when you're walking that trade show floor, you see 10,000 of your closest friends. So sometimes it's hard to have a whole conversation with a supplier. So the being able to go aside in a lounge in a private space and really finish a conversation without saying hi to everybody who walks by is a great benefit.
I'm just curious, Bob, was the exhibitor space sold out, or do you just expand as more demand comes up?
We hit our max cap, but yeah, we continue to try to expand as much as we possibly can. And we've had such success. About 3 years ago, we were in San Francisco, and from the time we signed the contract to the time we actually got there, we were so big we had to go into two halls.
Oh my gosh.
That we'll try to never do again, because not a lot of people are happy about that. But we do have physical limitations of the physical convention center itself. And we don't anticipate that we'll have a problem with the Denver Center, but the show is getting so big that we typically have looked 8 years out for where we're going to take the show. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about looking 10 to 12 years out to be able to ensure we're at a big enough venue.
Wow. And I'm imagining that as it continues to grow, there's going to be fewer and fewer that are that have the capability of handling the size of the show.
Not only the size of the show, but hotel spaces as well. Because when you have companies that are bringing groups of people, they want to be in a hotel. And not all venues are able to accommodate us in that regard. And so that's further going to limit the amount of places that we can go. I mean, there's large industry shows out there that will pick a city and stay there for a decade just because they want to have the access to everything and have it be good for the attendees. We're not quite there yet. When we get to a 40,000 person show, that's when we'll start seeing us at one city for a long period of time.
And I think somewhere I saw the figure that you had almost, I guess, between 550 to 600 exhibitors at the show this year.
Yes.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
I walked the exhibit floor several times myself, and I'm not sure I actually made it by every single booth.
There are some people I'm still sending apologies to that I told them I stopped by their booth, and I couldn't make it because I just physically couldn't get there.
Well, in this next segment, we're going to take a break in just a minute, but in the next segment, we want to talk a little about the industry itself, and kind of to give a little teaser out there to our listeners, some of the facts that were provided to me through NAA says that there's going to be a need for 4.6 million new apartments by 2030, and that would be an average of 325,000 apartments every year. And in between 2012 and 2016, the nation provided just 244,000 apartments. We want to talk a little bit about that need in just a moment, but we will be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500 or online at tedwallen.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing Apartmentalize 2018, a recap. I'm Paul Marks, and we are talking by phone with Bob Pinneger, President and CEO of the National Apartment Association, Jeff Lowry, Chairman of the Board of the National Apartment Association and Chief Operating Officer of Madera Residential, and Mary Gwynn, Chief Innovator at Apartment Dynamics. And joining me in the studio is Aaron Hardy, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life. We talked a lot about in the first two segments about the Apartmentalized show that just happened a few weeks ago. I want to concentrate a little bit on the industry and where we see the industry going. And Jeff, as active as you are with your professional life, with providing housing for people in multiple markets, tell us where you see the industry going in the next few years.
Thank you, Paul. We've talked about the shortage of housing being developed a lot in our industry. I think over the past few years, we've averaged, you know, just maybe a quarter of a million units coming online, and the projections are the need exceeds 300 a year, 300,000 per year is probably the need in the future. So development is a big deal. You know, areas are becoming constricted on their development. There's a lot of regulations hindering that. We have the affordable housing issues that is on everyone's mind. What can we do about affordable housing? What is the correct definition of affordable housing? We work in the space where we provide workforce housing. We do rehab and repositioning of housing, and that's a particularly strong need still in our marketplace and our space. So the need for housing is going to continue to grow, and as long as we have constricting regulations and other factors that slow that down, and you know, rising interest rates and availability of equity, I mean, all those factors come together. We've got to be able to figure out how to overcome that and provide more housing for the population.
Well, and I know home ownership rates have started to tick up a little bit, but you know, some pundits are saying that the industry will retain its status because of the fact that people are making lifestyle choices versus economic ones. Bob, what do you see with that?
No, that is the new emerging niche is senior housing. And not senior housing in the sense that it used to be, but senior housing that has active amenities, that provides that close the door and go lifestyle that many baby boomers are looking for, because frankly the kids have left the home, they're tired of taking care of the lawns and the maintenance and all that kind of stuff, and that's a new niche, and it's going to be something that's going to change the industry. You know, it's having a conversation with a company that's really working very aggressively in this space. The stigma that's associated with the assisted living facilities is something that this population that's looking to be part of this niche doesn't want to be part of, but they want all those active lifestyle amenities that are there. Talking with them, said the average age of these communities is about 74, 75 years of age, but it's an active 74, 75-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so that's a whole niche that's going to change the industry as the baby boomers move to this next stage of their lives. The other thing, in addition to which bodes for the industry, in addition to the 4.3 million units that we need just to keep up with growing demand is you should also take into consideration that about 11.2 million units need to be rehabbed because they're coming to the end of their useful lives, as Jeff was saying. And so that is a space that is going to continue to be very important, and I think will fuel interest in the industry, interest in the show, and help us to grow and be more successful. The other, if you're looking, you know, that leading edge where things are going, I was at a National Multi-Housing Council conference in January, and there was a session on disruptors and talking about technology. And the moderator of the group, who works for a venture capital group, shared with the people there that 24 months ago, there was approximately $500 million invested, venture capital dollars invested in property technology, or prop tech, as they're calling it in the industry now. In the last 24 months, that's ballooned to $1.5 billion, which tells us that Silicon Valley types have found our industry, and they see that it is a viable, valuable industry, and they're building tools for it. And the challenge will be is it will change the way we operate, and how do we navigate these disruptors so they can actually benefit the industry as opposed to disrupt the industry? That's the unknown factor that we're trying to figure out right now.
Yes, and Mary, I know with what you do, you talk to a lot of people in the industry, your business partners and so forth. What do you see as where their growth is going to be coming in the multifamily industry?
Most of the markets I work in, there is new construction going on, but as Bob mentioned, there are apartment homes that need renovation and reinvestment. So I think you'll see that a lot of the existing older stock will be repositioned. And what that begs for me is that means apartment homes that are sort of affordable or that are workforce, someone's going to invest in those and they're going to become cooler, hipper, add technology to them, and no longer really affordable. We're seeing that in a lot of markets we're already in. So I think our industry has to focus a bit on making sure that we're part of the conversation about affordable housing, which Jeff mentioned earlier. Affordable housing is becoming less affordable.
Right.
And what we don't want as an industry, and NAA is great about advocating to make us part of the conversation, we don't want to be left out. And most of us as members, I think we are for-profit for the most part. So we don't want government to foist on us a way to have affordable housing without our input, without our insights, without it making sense to our industry.
You know, Mary, you hit the nail on the head. And the week prior to the Apartmentalized Conference, I was at the U.S. Conference of Mayors talking about just this. And it's something that every mayor, because we did a panel session, and we had 230 people in the room, and we had more on video monitors outside the room. And so there's an incredible amount of interest, and we had conversations about the fact that we're looking at a barriers to development study, which we've unveiled, and we're going to begin to start to identify those jurisdictions that are doing very well and those jurisdictions that have challenges. For example, the most difficult city to develop in the United States is Honolulu. Mm-hmm. The easiest one to develop in is New Orleans. What we pitched it to them, had the conversation, is we want you to create a dialogue amongst your mayors, your counterparts, to if you're looking at a market that has similar qualities to yours, but yet they're ranked better, to create those policy conversations. And then at the conference, at our board meeting, we actually had a more in-depth study that was done, and we looked at Austin, we looked at San Diego, we looked at New York, and another city that escapes me at this point in time. But the most interesting thing that came back from that is everybody would expect that New York would be the most difficult to develop in and the most expensive. Actually, San Diego popped up as the most difficult and most expensive because of the uncertainty of environmental regulations, of potential for lawsuits, And so it's a study that we intend to expand around the country to really create a more in-depth conversation of what are the barriers out there that are preventing that workforce housing that's being built. Because without it, the economies of these cities are not going to survive over the long haul.
And we're going to take a break in just a minute or so. But, Aaron, I wanted to ask you, when we were talking about affordable housing, I know that Apartment Life has put a product out there that addresses affordable housing properties. Why is that important?
Because it's a market that is a need. And it's a segment of our industry that is vital to, one, everyone's business. But the product that we supply is to meet those needs of the people living in those communities. And to do that in partnering with the owners and the management companies that do manage those particular communities, our service is set up to provide their residents with services that are meaningful to them. And it's everything from education to social stuff to children education, it's finances, it's health and medical screenings, things like that, that, you know, affordable housing tends to need services in. And so we've have this product that does come alongside them and helps them, as Jeff was mentioning, Madeira, you know, goes in and purchases places that, you know, they rehab and bring new life into. And with that new life, you know, the human component of that is supplying services to people who are coming into that new environment. And walking alongside them and teaching them how to manage their money and to budget and to, you know, find healthy ways to live, but then also to build a community, because the connectiveness of our industry is really important because we are talking about humans.
Exactly. Well, we were going to have to take a break, and we'll come back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing Apartmentalize 2018, a recap. I'm Paul Marks, and I'm talking by phone with Bob Pinneger, President and CEO of the National Apartment Association, Jeff Lowry, Chairman of the Board for the National Apartment Association and Chief Operating Officer of Madeira Residential, Mary Gwynn, Chief Innovator at Apartment Dynamics, and joining me in the studio is Aaron Hardy, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life. I do want to take a quick moment and thank our exclusive sponsors who make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Let's talk for a second about amenities. That's always important when you're talking with folks in the apartment industry. Bob, what kind of conversations are you hearing out there?
Well, you know, everybody's looking for the next amenity and how to position their property to be unique and special. And the two things that I keep hearing over and over from people out there is that amenities, the amenities that are being sought after now are things that create a sense of community and amenities that save time of the residents, because everybody's increasingly busy, increasingly multitasking. And so those are areas that I see the industry moving, whether it is technological solution, whether it is a dog park that creates the sense of community for the people that have dogs, whether it is a WeWork type space, which brings those people together that are working remotely, because that's an increasingly part of the working landscape in the U.S. today.
And Jeff, how does Madera create a sense of community?
Well, I'm appreciate you asking that, because I was just thinking about the creation of community environment, and I thought about apartment life, and more to tie back to Aaron's comments earlier, what apartment life does helps create community with our residents. Instead of looking at them as residents, they become customers as well, and we start having a customer experience environment which creates community. So I really like that facet of our discussion. You know, technology is helping us do many things now. Our industry is usually behind on the technology implementation, but the artificial intelligence and the smart apartments, that is coming on fast, as Mary talked about earlier at the show in San Diego. On every corner of an aisle, you could find a smart technology exhibitor. So those two factors for us, for Madera, is where we're going right now, creating a resident customer experience, community environment, and bringing on technology to help us with that.
Aaron, apartment life is all about creating community. Just give a brief overview for our listeners of what you guys do.
Sure. Apartment life's sole purpose is to create a neighborhood for you. We live in a culture of neediness when it comes to connectedness. And technology, we've talked about that here, is so important and so vital, but it does take away from the human connectedness that is vital to our human nature, I think. And our job is to have a team of people to come in and create that neighborhood for our clients on their communities. And they do that through several different things. We have an on-site program where the team lives on site. Does events, does welcome visits when people move in, and as well as renewal visits. So when their leases are going to be coming up, we'll touch base with them, see how things are going, and address things before they need to come in and talk about their lease expiration. But most importantly, you know, really important arm about that is individual care. Our product is specifically designed to have people care for each other as neighbors, and then hopefully see that replicated as we demonstrate that as a product, other people enjoying it, appreciating it, and finding that, oh, I can do this too. I can be a good neighbor. And having, you know, residents who are good neighbors is actually a wonderful amenity to an apartment community's business model, because we want to see people happy. And we want them to stay where they are and live there long term.
Yeah. And Mary, as far as amenities go, what are you seeing?
Well, I want to start by saying we use apartment life on some of our communities as well. And it reminds me of growing up in a neighborhood where we played kick the can and all that. They've been able to, where my staff thought, well, we do this already. They've been able to help us do it better, creating the community. And we can actually quantify that our turnover, our resident turnover, is less, which means our costs are less. So it's a great business model. But in addition to that, there's so many neat technology things we're incorporating. And I think Bob mentioned, or maybe Jeff mentioned, about pet parks, which is not a technology thing, but it's low-hanging fruit. If you have a little bit of dirt on your property that's unused, it's so easy to add a pet park, and there's so many cool things you can buy to make it colorful and give it a little wow factor. And they say that something like 70% of apartment dwellers are pet owners, so it's definitely an easy and not overly expensive amenity. But add to that, you can add smart features even to older apartment communities, like the door locks that open by a phone app, and all the different technology things that are not just for the brand new product, but they're easy to incorporate in existing products. So I was thrilled to see a lot of that, because again, you know, a lot of times you think the cool amenities are in the brand new, but there's lots you can add to existing as you do these retrofits.
Sure. Bob, take a couple of minutes before we end the segment and talk a little bit about the history of the National Apartment Association and how it was formed.
Well, I mean, NAA is a almost 80-year-old organization. We were actually, interesting enough, a spinoff of the BOMA, the Building Owners and Managers Association, back in the late 1930s. And I think for much of our for our entire history, we've really reflected the makeup of the industry itself. And so there was a point in time where it was individuals who were purchasing apartment buildings or multifamily to really invest for their nest egg and their retirement wealth. And that still is an important segment of the industry. But the industry has many layers above that now. And I had a conversation with somebody, this is years ago, about the evolution of the modern apartment industry, and the person I talked to traced it back to really the savings and loan crisis and the Resolution Trust Corporation coming in and picking up large tracts of apartment buildings and creating an environment in which the REITs could come to the industry and institutional dollars could more readily flow into the industry buying these tracts of apartments. And I think that, and that occurred in the late 90s, and that has sent this industry on a trajectory that has only improved the professionalism and improved the experience of the resident as you have more and more of the rental stock out there managed to a high professional standard. And I know that's changed NAA. I know that's changed our members. I know that has changed the industry and all of our supplier members as well. And so I think it is a trajectory that we're going to continue to see, especially as we have more and more people that are approaching retirement age. And there was a study I think Chris Lee had put out talking about the number of executives that will be retiring over the next 15 years and the fact that there's just not that ready pool of people to step in and run these companies, and which suggests we're going to see more consolidation and yet larger and larger blocks of apartments being managed by third-party management companies, by the REITs, and by other entities that may pop up.
Okay, and there's a whole list of items.
You could do a whole show on that.
I was going to say, and we could all do a whole show on the educational opportunities that NAA offers, which we probably will do another show on that. But I do want to give an opportunity for all of our guests to talk a little bit about how they can be reached and what they do and what their companies do. So, Jeff, do you want to start?
Thank you. Madero Residential is a family of companies. Basically, our management arm is Madero Residential. Our equity arm is Madero Equity. Obviously, equity would be our investments, acquisitions, dispositions segment of our business. And our business model is a value add, where we look at B and C class properties that we see the opportunity to acquire, to rehab, reposition, refinance, and remarket is basically the model. And we do that over a period of time and enjoy doing that. It's where we live and breathe. We are actively engaged in this model. Madero Residential is a corporate headquarters is Lubbock, Texas, and we intend to keep it in Lubbock, Texas. We have a satellite office. Our asset management office is in Dallas, so we enjoy this business. We are good at this business, and we continue to look forward to the opportunities in the multifamily space. When MaderaResidential.com is how you get to us.
Okay, great. How about Mary?
I have a great company called Apartment Dynamics, and we manage, train, and consult all over the country. We manage in North Carolina, and a couple of things that differentiate us is are one is that my husband's my business partner, Tom Gwynn, and we play well together, which is really nice for our employees. And a second thing is that we have the honor of being the third best place to work in multifamily in 2018, and it's because we are surrounded by great employees, including Angela Raup, who is NAA's CAM of the Year. We were so honored to get to be at that presentation a couple of Saturdays ago. And then the third thing that differentiates us a little bit is that we manage in North Carolina, and we train and consult all over the country, and we get to incubate ideas on our own portfolio and really have working knowledge when we train and consult other people. So we're just thrilled to be part of an exciting industry that changes literally every day.
Okay. And Erin?
Yeah. So I work for the Apartment Life. And our product is an amenity that differentiates many communities from the others when it comes to that human aspect. We like to consider ourselves the human amenity. And our product is solely to impact a property's NOI. And we do that by providing a resident experience through the functions I mentioned earlier in a segment with visits and caring for residents very organically, but then also throwing a really fun social environment through events that we do each month. And then we have an offsite solution as well, which is more for the affordable housing sector. And that provides many services for education and care for residents on those communities, as well as that social and recreational fun, because we want them to love where they live as well. And that's how we provide that, is through our onsite and offsite coordinators and teams.
All right. And Bob, if someone wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about NAA, how can they do that?
Well, there's the old-fashioned phone call, 833-866-MY-NAA, and there's our website, which is www.naahq.org. We have a customer service department that answers emails and phones, and to the tune of about 80,000 calls and emails a year. And so they're there, and they're ready to help in any way they can.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for appearing here today. We talked about a lot, but there's still a lot more to talk about, and we'll have everybody back again for a show in the future. We will be back every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Business 1110 KTEK. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.